Hi, welcome back to the Golden Years course. For what we, those of us that are retired, what can we or should we be doing with the remainder of our life? You're probably, as we've discussed already, older, than 55. Maybe you're as old as I am, 70, and you have a gift, you have a talent, you have some finance, you have time, and a desire, perhaps, that the Holy Spirit has put in you to do something with these golden years, because this is the Golden Years course, and we're going to be looking at the last two gates. The last two of seven gates that are needed, and the gates are to, like anything else, to keep either things out or let certain things in. And we're to be gatekeepers, especially those of us who have lived a life, a full life, and we've been aware, observed, experienced different things, and we have come to learn different things, and the Holy Spirit hopefully has guided us in a number of things, and it's now our opportunity to instruct others to make their life, their journey easier. So today we're going to be looking at moral law and government. Now, if you take the time to read from Deuteronomy 28, pretty much the whole chapter, you will find that there is a curse or a blessing for a nation. A nation can either be blessed or cursed. Now, when we read the Bible, and hopefully if you've read it cover to cover, like you would any book, you will notice that God uses the Israelites as a people to pretty much show other people, other nations, what they should be doing. They're supposed to be the light of the world, showing us how we should live. But they also show us what we shouldn't be doing. Because a number of times in Scripture, we notice that God punishes the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has had two of its temples destroyed because of turning their back on God. So when we read Deuteronomy 28, God tells Moses what to tell the people of Israel, what they should be doing as a nation, what they should be doing to be blessed, and what happens if they don't, they're cursed. So we can see that throughout Scripture that God will punish a nation, and he has. So what's our responsibility? Well, those of us in our golden years, we should be responsible for seeing to it that younger people are doing those things, are observing those things. Now, when we take a look at what's going on in America today, we see two elements that are going wrong: moral law and the government. Now, when moral law collapses, you can rest assured that so will government. We have moved away from God's laws, what God considers righteous, what God says we should be doing as a people, to what men, or I should say wicked men and women, say we should be doing. And the Bible is clear on a number of things that we shouldn't be doing, but we're seeing that our government is instituting laws that are contrary to what God teaches, what God expects for us. When we make laws that kill babies, even after they're born, within minutes claiming it's still an abortion, it's wrong. We know that God has made a statement that he knew us in the womb. So if he knows us in the womb, then he doesn't want us dead from the womb, but born from the womb. So we have a moral law that says, life, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say, thou shalt not kill after a few days of birth. It doesn't say, after a few years of life. It says, thou shalt not kill, period. So we have politicians who are allowing for babies to be killed in the womb and even slightly after, which is wrong. We have boys who claim to be girls so that they can participate in girl sports, knowing that they'll easily win because their physical anatomy is built differently than a female's body. So biologically, they're not women. If you have an X and Y chromosomes, you are male. Whether you think you're not. And someone who thinks they're a woman who has XY chromosomes cannot have a menstrual cycle and give birth. So if that doesn't tell you you're not a woman, I don't know what does. But we have lawmakers now saying that if a boy thinks he's a girl, he can participate in girl sports. And we're seeing how easy it is for those boys to win. So that's morally wrong. And that's a law now. That's not God's law. That's not God's moral law. That's man's made-up law to allow for wickedness to be treated as common legal place. Marriage, according to moral law, is with a man and a woman. End of story. But we have man-made laws now. And those man-made laws will affect our governing, the way we govern people. And the way we govern people with human moral laws, with human laws, I shouldn't say moral laws, with human laws, we now enter under a curse from God. And we know that God will punish us because we can read it in the Bible. Any Jewish person should be able to tell you that, yeah, we went astray and he cast us out of Israel. And now he's finally bringing us back after 2,000 years. We have an obligation to be righteous citizens for God, not for man. So we need to protect God's moral laws, not man's made-up laws. Now that we've established that we need to protect the gate for moral law, and not allow anything that is not of God's law to pass through that gate. We're supposed to be gatekeepers. Men and women of valor to protect that gate, to protect moral God's law. We are to stand up for it, not lay down, turn our backs, say it's okay. None of that. That's one of the problems with Christianity today. We have too many spineless Christians who are really lukewarm and are only in name, Christian in name. If you're truly a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you strength and courage to be able to stand fast, have valor, and fight against evil in all its forms. So we need to be able to protect that gate of moral law. And the way we do it is by protecting the gate to government. That's right. Protect the gate of government. Today, we have so many corrupt politicians that take money and bribes from rich people who want to destroy this nation for their personal purpose. We have a media that does not support righteousness and doesn't support moral law, doesn't support the fact that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor applies to them also, that they are to tell the truth, not create falsehoods in order to promote an agenda. We as a people, as a Christian, as citizens of God, we need to vote those people out and vote our people in. We need more righteous politicians in Washington, D.C. When we see people who earn $174,000 a year as a job, which is pretty good pay, and they're there 30 and 40 years, and then you find out that their net worth is $200 million, where did they get that money? Why aren't they investigated? The same people will call for tax returns of politicians that they want to destroy, but they don't show theirs. A former president making $200,000 a year gives himself a raise. Turn around, we find out that he has $400 million in an offshore account. Now, how did he get that $400 million? Was that part of that cash deal of $1 billion that went to Iran or Iraq, and the kickback was $400 million? Was that possible? We have the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, the DOJ, more corrupt than the mafia. It's ridiculous. We need honest government. And the way to do that is to put respectful, righteous Christians in those jobs. Now, America has 60 million Christians on paper. They should all be voting for honest politicians, for righteous politicians with a Christian agenda. Not a party that wants to create human law. We want a party that stands up to and for the Constitution that was built on God's law. We need to put people in those jobs. at the very local level and work our way up to the presidency. And that's where our finances come in. We need to use our finances, we need to use our wisdom, our discernment, and as seniors, us with the golden years, it's our responsibility to be able to pass down this information, this legacy, to younger people so that they're able to do the same thing so that they can pass the same legacy down to their children and grandchildren. That's what we should be doing. Putting right people, righteous people, in places of government. That means we need to run for those offices. We need to support those who run for those offices so we can continue to uphold God's laws. So you see, all these seven gates that we're supposed to be protecting and only allowing God's will to enter the gate. Only what God wants is to enter those gates. Our job is to be the guardsman, the gatekeeper, the sentry, standing at the gate to protect us, to protect it. And the Holy Spirit will give us the courage to do so. That's what we are to do. And when you read Deuteronomy 28, the whole entire chapter, you will see it's about being either a righteous nation or a wicked one. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a righteous nation. I want to be a part of a nation that God sees righteous, that God says, yeah, look, there's my people. They're doing the right thing. I'm going to bless them. I don't want to be part of a nation that God says, look how wicked those people are. I have to do something. Maybe I'll just wipe them all out. What is it that you want? I would hope you would want a righteous nation. I would hope that in your senior years, in your golden years, that you would want to pass down that legacy to your children and your children's children so that they could do the same. That's what we're called to do in our golden years. That's why they're golden years, because we don't have to work anymore. We can now do God's work, finally, without any interference about worrying about a mortgage payment or about, I got to earn this or I got to do that. See? That's what we need to be doing. And we need to be using our finance, our time, and our talent. Well, maybe we don't have money, but we can sure promote, spread the word for a candidate. We can, if we have advertising knowledges and talent, we can help promote them that way, pass the word around, teaching people what righteous law is like, what it is, what it's supposed to be. That's what we're called to do in our golden years. There you go. We've covered all seven gates. Keep in mind that they interlock with each other. They must work together. We have to block all those gates. We can't leave one unprotected. The minute you leave one unprotected, you open the door, you open the gate to let the enemy in. You let wickedness in. You let evil in. You have to guard the seven gates. It's our responsibility to do so. And as I mentioned already, as seniors, as members of the Golden Years group, it's our responsibility to pass down that knowledge, to pass down the gifts, the talent. It's our responsibility to see to it that those talents and gifts are developed. It's our responsibility to see to it that young people learn how to use their money wisely so that it's not just earned income from work, but it's also a passive income from investments, real estate property, knowing how to use the stock market, intellectual property, creating, writing books, inventing something. We need to be able to show children, our children, younger people, how to do these things so that they can pass down that legacy to their children and their grandchildren. That's our responsibility in the golden years. We are to be the mentors, the coaches for these young people. Now, we've covered a great deal of stuff. Meetups, where to go, how to look for your talent, how to discover your talent. Maybe you already know what your talent is. Pray to the Holy Spirit as to what He wants you to do with the talent that He gave you, that you have. Pray to God through the power, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, on what does the Lord God want you to do with those talents, with those gifts that He gave you, with the time you have left, with the money that you have. Pray, pray, and pray. Ask, ask, and ask. Knock, knock, and the door will be opened. The questions will be answered, and God will reveal to you what He wants you to be doing in these golden years. Until next time, your homework is to be thinking about these two past gates, moral law and government. And what are you doing about moral law and government?